From El Caja Vilca in the Technical Production, Edition and Music Selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
I'm Saul Brody from Philadelphia, PA, USA. You're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, March the 14th, and we are into daylight saving time.
Yep.
We just want to remind you that our show, normally 10:30 a.m. Eastern, is still 10:30 Eastern, but Eastern Daylight Time. The UTC time, though, has shifted. It is going to be at 14:30 UTC for the rest of daylight time. And we may have a little issue going this week. If you our computers at CKUT don't like the time change, so you may have difficulty finding us either live or on the archive. But it's only for 1 week, so please bear with us. It's something we have to go through twice a year, usually, when the time changes. Our CKUT computers, for some reason, just don't seem to like the time changing. So from here on, for until the fall, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 14:30 UTC for the International Radio Report. We invite you to contact us. Radioreport at yahoo.com is our email address. The website is ckut.ca, and our Facebook group, International Radio Report, has one new member this week. We welcome Robin to the group this time around. If you're joining us for the first time, it's a half-hour program of news and information about things going on in the world of radio, be they here in Montreal or elsewhere around the world. And we thank you for tuning in. We do want to mention on our Facebook page, if you want to take a look at the history of our program, which has been around since November 1987, we just put up a whole bunch of pictures into a photo album on the Facebook page. So if you want to see what we look like, what we did look like, and what a whole bunch of different guests and co-hosts that we've had on the show over the years, if you want to see what everyone looks like and what the station itself looks like, you can go visit the photo album in the Facebook group, International Radio Report. And boy, some of us look a lot younger in some of those pictures. It's kind of neat to look at them, though. So please go take a look at them. Okay, we'll get rolling here with just an update. Actually, not much of an update, but we do want to remind you that the CKUT funding drive will be coming up March 18th through the 28th. It is a full year since they've had a funding drive. Actually, it's going to be 2 years because they didn't have one last year.
Yep.
And the theme of this year's is what they hoped it to be last year, sowing the seeds of grassroots radio. So we will be looking for your support as usual. We'll get all the details to you as soon as possible. Keep checking the CKUT website as well. I'm sure there'll be information popping up there in the next few days about the upcoming funding drive. And we'll have more on that, of course, next week as we'll be into the midst of the funding drive. Our next story is courtesy of Numeris, which is the ratings system for radio here in Canada. The ratings have come out for the period of November the 30th, 2020 through February the 28th, 2021. Now, they've released them for five major markets across Canada, that being Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. We're going to post up a link on the Facebook page where you can go and look at all those five cities and compare the stations. We've pulled out some data on the Montreal stations because that's where a lot of our listeners are here in Montreal. And we did sort of a comparison of the same period last year and then also compared those numbers to just the past period, which was August 31st, 2020 to November 29th, 2020. And there's some interesting trends going across. We're the only market in Canada where the breakdown is done English and French as well. So we get two separate sets of ratings. And we do see the crossover of the audience as well. Francophones listening to Anglo radio and vice versa. So we won't go through all of the details, but there's a few interesting things on here. If we look at the English side first, we continue to be absolutely flabbergasted by a share number. A share is the percentage of the listening audience throughout the day that's listening to a particular station, all ages combined. And the Anglo leader continually is CJD News Talk Radio. It's an AM radio station, 800, a 30.4% share, which is
amazing.
It's astronomical when you compare it. The closest station to them is the music station, The Beat 92.5, has a 17.7 share. So they're almost double. And everybody else kind of falls in behind that. It's I can see the numbers being high during COVID, a lot of people tuning to a station for news and information. But this is not new for this radio station. It's been dominating the Anglo market for probably several years now. These numbers are just crazy, though.
What will be interesting to see with these numbers is now that Bell is actually creating change, and now the TV side will have news on the radio. There's going to be a syndication of programs that, you know, will be from other parts of Canada. It's going to lose a little bit of that local side to it, that Montreal side to it. And that's going to be interesting in the next few ratings. Is it going to maintain its spot, or is it going to show that people suddenly don't recognize their station?
Yeah, they've done some of that in the past where they've tried to put some Toronto-based shows on, and the reaction has not been good. People want local content on this radio station. So we'll see if those numbers hold up. They've gone up since the same period last year when they were at 24.6. So they've gone all the way up to 30.4. So they're still drawing audience. How much of that might be COVID related? Hard to say. Behind them, we said, was The Beat, 92.5 music station, 17.7 share. And next on the list is Shome FM, the rock music station, 97.7 FM with a 13 share. The station that continues to take a beating is Virgin Radio, also yep. owned by Bell, 95.9. They have gone down again. They were 9.3 a year ago, 8.8 in the last ratings period, and now at 7.6. So substantially behind their main competitor, which is The Beat with 17.7. Every time we do these ratings, we wonder, when are they going to make a change and bite the bullet and say, look, this just isn't working?
I haven't seen that yet. I think that rather than touching CJAD, that is such a market leader, they should have done something with Virgin instead and try something else.
Yeah. You know, they're being surpassed by CBC Radio 1 in Montreal. And CBC on the English side has never done very well in Montreal, yet they're 8.8 share above the 7.6 of Virgin. So, again, there may be a COVID influence there with people going to, a news and information station. But they do have a lot of other programming as well. So interesting to see that. On the French side, it's not as big a dominance, but CHMP 98.5, the news talk station, leads the ratings race with 21.5 share. And they're followed by a couple music stations. Actually, the second one is CBF, Radio-Canada's EC Premier, with 14.8. And then we drop down to the first music station, Rhythm FM, 105.7 with a 13.6.
One of the interesting things that I'm looking at the numbers, on the English and on the French side, three stations pretty much dominate, and all the rest are kind of mixed in the noise. They're pretty much together in the same kind of ratings.
Yep, it seems to be across the board that way. So a couple thing, one thing in there, the news station, 99.5, weekend radio, as they call it, hasn't had much of an impact. They are going up since the last rating period, but they're sitting at 2.4, which is, like you said, they're in the mix, but quite far down the list.
I think it shows that it's tough to have people change that dial on another station.
Exactly. So there, we'll put up the link. You can go check out the other cities across Canada as well. You'll see some other interesting information in the Numeris ratings numbers. And I'm sure our friend Steve at the Montreal Gazette and on the Fagstein blog will have a more in-depth analysis of these ratings numbers for Montreal. So we'll keep an eye out for that as well.
So there's a good news for the public broadcasters in the United States. The U.S. COVID relief bill that will provide $175 million. This is by Michael Balderson of Tech TV. As part of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan for COVID relief approved by the Senate over the weekend, $175 million has been earmarked as emergency assistance for public TV and radio stations. The inclusion of these funds for public broadcasters is being called vital for public stations to continue to provide and expand the essential services that they provide Americans. According to America's Public Television Stations, President and CEO Patrick Butler, in a press release praising the relief packages passing in the Senate, said that public TV stations have been providing remote education services, health information, government coverage, and public safety communications to people throughout the country with mostly unbudgeted funds and while losing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. The funding included in the bill will help public TV stations continue to provide these services. This is good news because we know that all the public stations in the United States have a really hard time getting funding. The government isn't helping and actually has been helping less and less over the last years. And they're relying a lot on basically the listeners, funding drives, and they do have a little bit of ad revenue, but listeners is probably a big part of how much money they get in.
They'll have to, they don't have a breakdown here of the $175 million of how much is for TV and how much is for radio. I would think probably more going to television than to radio.
Yeah, possibly.
All right, we move on to solar conditions, and there's an interesting anniversary that is solar related coming up or has come up this weekend.
Absolutely. So, on March 13th, 1989, something happened that here in Quebec, there at that time, we all kind of remember. They call it the Great Quebec Blackout. So they called it the day the sun brought darkness. On March 13th, 1989, a powerful coronal mass ejection hit Earth's magnetic field. 90 seconds later, the Hydro-Quebec power grid failed. During the nine-hour blackout that followed, millions of Quebecers found themselves with no light or heat, wondering what was going on. It was the biggest geomagnetic storm of the space age, says Dr. David Butler, head of the Space Weather Group at Natural Resources Canada. March 1989 has become archetype disturbance for understanding how solar activity can cause blackouts. It seems hard to believe now, but in 1989, few people realized solar storms could bring down power grids. The warning bells had been ringing for more than a century. In September 1859, a similar CME hit the Earth's magnetic field, and it's called the Carrington event, sparking a storm twice as strong as the March 89 storm. Electrical currents surged through Victorian-era telegraph wires, in some cases causing sparks and setting telegraph office on fire. There were the same kind of currents that would bring down Hydro-Quebec. Quebec is especially vulnerable. The province sits on an expanse of the Precambrian igneous rock that does a poor job conducting electricity. So the big Canadian shield, we're sitting basically on big rocks. When the March 13th CME arrived, storm currents found a more attractive path in the high-voltage transmission lines of Hydro-Quebec. Unusual frequencies, harmonics, began to flow through the lines. Transformers overheated and circuit breakers tripped. After darkness engulfed Quebec, bright auroras spread as far south as Florida, Texas, and Cuba. Reportedly, some onlookers thought they were witnessing a nuclear exchange. That tells you of that 80s era of nuclear fear. Some also were thinking that it could be the space shuttle, which remarkably launched on the same day. The astronauts were okay, although the shuttle did experience a mysterious problem with a fuel cell sensor that threatened to cut the mission short. So basically, it's just telling us that there's a lot on the sun that can happen. And hopefully we learned from that past CME. And that things could be better today, but it's a warning to just say, hey, the sun could really disrupt our modern technology, which is even more dependent today. So imagine what could happen if the same thing or something even worse would happen today. As for the solar conditions right now, they don't look as bad as the sun is rather quiet. It has two small sunspots groups. And the solar flux around 78 or 80. There is a coronal hole in the southern part of the sun that will send some solar wind that might reach the Earth on March 14th. So that could give us some unsettled conditions. This week, conditions were in general rather quiet. And so, you know what? Turn on the radio. Listen to what's out there. There's amazing signals to listen to.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
We go next to the United States and a story from Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald. I'm someone who likes to listen to Sirius XM radio. And when I saw this story, I went and checked out this particular station that they're talking about. It's called Slam Radio, and it's the nation's first student-run Sirius XM station, and it's located in Little Havana. Nestled in the heart of Little Havana, a few blocks from Marlins Park, is one of the most unique radio stations in America. Slam Radio is the first and only satellite radio station in the nation run by high school students. Broadcasting on Sirius XM Channel 145, Slam is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and features content produced and presented by 80 to 100 local high school students. The programming, much of it pre-recorded, focuses on sport talk, current events, entertainment, and journalism, with some music mixed in. The station launched in December of 2018. It is part of the Sports Leadership Arts and Management, SLAM Charter School Network, which was co-founded by rapper Pitbull and has grown to 11 campuses nationwide. It is a public charter school for grades 6 to 12, and its curriculum is geared for students interested in sports leadership and management. Their 3,000-square-foot radio studio is on the school campus at 542 Northwest 12th Avenue. It is equipped with 12 voiceover booths, and most of the students involved are Hispanic Americans and Black. It's given kids in Little Havana a voice and confidence they never knew they had, said veteran radio host Larry El Amigo Millan, who serves as the station general manager and is a beloved mentor for the students, as is executive producer Frank Fernandez. Some of these kids were afraid to put two sentences together, and now we can't shut them up. Some of the shows, such as Slam Rundowns, the Youth and Sports Slam feature student hosts. Others are produced and edited by students, but have professional hosts like Good Morning Amigo, a four-hour show led by Milian, best known for his Dos Amigos and Desayuno Deportivo bilingual sports talk show that ran on AM 790 in Miami. Slam Radio has garnered national attention and was featured on Good Morning America during the 2020 Super Bowl, when students spent 2 days on the SiriusXM stage on Radio Row at the Miami Beach Convention Center, interviewing the likes of NFL stars Dan Marino, Lawrence Taylor, Michael Irvin, Frank Gore, and Dak Prescott. They also rubbed elbows with WWE wrestler The Big Show, radio personality Sway Calloway, and MMA star Jorge Masvidal. So that's pretty neat. Students getting involved in radio, something that everybody tells you, why would anybody want to do that anymore? So good that they're giving kids an opportunity to learn about radio and reaching potentially a very large audience with SiriusXM.
Absolutely.
So sounds like a good initiative. I did tune it in and listen a little bit. It's quite a variety, as they say, a mix of talk shows, a little bit of music, not a lot of music, but news, current affairs, entertainment, and journalism. So if you have SiriusXM, you can check it out on channel 145.
And maybe some of these students one day will be on the air in some radio station. Who knows? Maybe it's going to spark some new professional career for them.
We hope so. That's happened here at CKUT. We've had a few people over the years that got their start in radio here and went on to work in commercial radio, even some that went overseas. I know a few people that ended up doing some work in countries overseas. Cool. So it's a good place to start.
Yep, absolutely. For the shortwave listeners that are listening to the show, there's going to be something interesting to listen to coming up this week. So it comes from KSKO in Alaska, and there's going to be something called the Virtual Dance Party Request Party thingy. It's going to be broadcast via WRMI. So this is from Paul Walker via the shortwave listening post. Tune in to WRMI for the live Friday night Virtual Dance Party Request Party thingy from Community Station 89.5 KSKO in McGrath, Alaska. The broadcast will take place on Saturday, that's UTC Saturday, March 20th, 2021, from 03 to 05 hours Universal Time on 7570 kHz on the West Coast and 7780 kHz on the East Coast. KSKO Program Director Paul Walker is going to be hosting the show and will take requests by phone at 907-524-3001 during the show. And so this is going to be fun to have people actually have their online requests by phone. And this is cool to have a live feed, actually. It'll be all kinds of music from 60s to today, from all genres. So there's probably going to be something for everyone, Paul says. I'm funding the WRMI airtime costs from my own personal pocket, not the station's bank account. I'm doing it because for fun, because I can, because why not? So this is going to be interesting to listen to. So they do say it's Saturday, March 20th, but remember that that's UTC time. Here in North America, it's Friday night. So Friday night, that is going to be from 03 to 05 UTC, and that is in Eastern time, 11 p.m. to 01 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, actually. So it's a little late in the evening in the East Coast. But it's going to be broadcast for West Coast and East Coast. So remember, the program is 03 to 05 UTC, March 20th. That, once again, is Friday evening in North America. And the two frequencies, 7570 kHz for the West Coast and 7780 kHz for the East Coast. These frequencies usually come in quite well. So hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun. I'll be listening for sure. And I think this is a cool little moment. And maybe call in and ask for your favorite song.
And our next story comes from the UK via Radio Today and Radio World. The company Bauer to turn off four AM transmitters in the northern UK. Medium wave services carrying greatest hits radio in Lancashire, Manchester, and Leeds in the UK plus Magic in Humberside are being switched off. The changes will be taking place at the end of April and follow greatest hits radio being available on FM in addition to DAB in most of these areas. In Lancashire, 999 kHz carries the same output as 96.5 in Blackpool. In Manchester, 1152 kHz is duplicated on 96.2 FM for Oldham. And GHR is added to the former radio air frequency of 96.3 last year, in addition to 828 kHz. Bauer will also switch off Magic Radio AM 1161 in Hull. Magic replaced Greatest Hits on AM last year when KCFM, owned by Nation Broadcasting, rebranded as Greatest Hits Radio. Current plans mean that Greatest Hits Radio's AM output will cease in these areas from April the 26th, with a retune message played until April the 30th. So that's, you know, across the board, this is happening a lot with AM stations, particularly when they've got a parallel FM station. Obviously, the range of the FM is not going to be what the AM was, but I guess they're deciding we're going to go with the better quality sound on FM, and we'll cut down on some of the costs by closing the AM ones. So there's no indication whether anybody else will use those stations afterwards, the transmitters will disappear.
And I mean, there's a lot of European countries that completely gone from medium wave, and not counting about long wave also, that's slowly dying. And even here in Canada, we have parts of Canada that don't even have medium wave stations anymore.
Yeah, it's a trend that's spread right across Canada, except in the prairies. There's a few prairie stations that have remained strong on AM, covering very, very large territory. Those ones they've kept intact. But Ontario, Quebec, the Maritimes, BC, a lot of the AM have disappeared. We wrap up today with a list of the upcoming ham radio contests, and we only have four this week. The first one is the Four States QRP Group Second Sunday Sprint. It takes place from 0100 Zulu to 0200 Zulu, March 15th. Sponsored by the Four States QRP Group, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas. You can work stations once per band, from 160 to 10 meters. There's no work bands. And the modes are CW and phone, but it is a low-power contest, QRP only.
The one that I love every year is the British Amateur Radio Teledata Group RTTY contest. And that's coming up 02 UTC March 20th to 0159 March 22nd. And it's 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters RTTY only. This is a great one if you want to brush up on decoding some radio teletype on your computer. I love this one because it has a lot of stations from countries that you almost never hear on the bands.
So check that one out. And then we have one in Russia as well. The Russian DX contest from 1200 Zulu March 20th to 1200 Zulu March 21st. That is sponsored by the Union of Radio Amateurs of Russia. 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. No contest QSOs on the work bands, and that is a CWN phone contest.
So there's the AGCW VHF UHF contest going on March 20th from 14 to 18 UTC. It's sponsored by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. The goal is to increase CW activity on the VHF UHF bands. All radio amateurs can participate. Frequencies 144.025 to 144.150 megahertz on the 2 meter band, and 432.025 to 432.150 on the 70 centimeter band. I gotta say, we don't hear Morse code that much on those bands.
Very, very little. So interesting that they're trying to increase the activity of that on those two bands in Germany, at least.
Yep, absolutely.
So that is it for this week. We thank you for tuning in. We will be back again next week with our next edition. And do check us out on the archives if you don't catch the program live. And check out our Facebook group, all those neat pictures that we put up from the International Radio Report, and all the other information that you and others put up on that page for us. We appreciate your input. We will talk to you next Sunday with our next edition of the show. You've been listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
この放送は NHK ワールド国際放送ラジオ日本です。東京からお送りします。
Her eyes, they shone like the diamonds. I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair hung over her shoulders, tied up with a black velvet band. In a neat little town they call Belfast, apprentice to trade I was bound. And many's an hours of sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. Till sad misfortune came o'er me, which caused me to stray from the land. Far away from me, friends and relations, betrayed by the black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like the diamonds.